I'm going to go ahead and ask you to turn your Bibles to back to the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3. So we're going to be back to where our scripture reading was this evening, just a little bit ago. And I'd like to, really with the message tonight, just share a few thoughts that the Lord has given to me. Really just some things to kind of stir us, if you will. In other words, to quicken or to enliven, to make more lively or vigorous, as to stir up the mind, if I can put it that way. Just something to think about and to consider. There's going to be 4 points to the message tonight. 4 items is how I've put it in my notes here. And really, the first 3 points really kind of get us into what that fourth point is. The first 3 points are really let's think about this. Whereas then the fourth point is more of a, all right, here's the practical part, I guess, if that's the right way to put it. Here we go, here's the charge. So with that in mind, when the Lord gave me the message that we're going to go through here this evening, I was actually going through a period of just discouragement. Just some things that had come up, and it just really discouraged me. Yes, Brother Pritchett does get discouraged. Shock of all shock. All the air just got sucked out of the room. But no, with that aside, and you know, it's one of those things where I don't know if you've done this before, where then you just kind of take your Bible, you just put it on the table in front of you, and you just open it up. And then wherever it opened up to you, just start reading. I believe that you've heard this before. It's the joke that goes that the guy that was looking for the Lord's will in his life, it was put his Bible, all right, I'm going to open my Bible, lay Bible down, open it up. And he goes to the passage of Scripture where it talks about Judas hanging himself. And then he's like, oh, no, let's close that up. We'll put it back. And then he opened it back up, and it was the phrase, go and do thou likewise. And so it was like, it wasn't like that, folks. It wasn't like that one. But really, I don't know if you've done something like that before where you just open your Bible up. It's not necessarily where you may be reading in Scripture, but all right, it's one of those things we've heard even special speakers, you've heard speakers say perhaps on recordings or even in messages before, that you just keep on reading until the Lord gives you something. And really, I was just reading because I did need something. There were some thoughts that I had, some things that were weighing heavy on my heart, and just opened up the Word of God and just started reading. And initially, the first scripture I came to was in the book of Ezekiel, and Pastor even touched on it when he was doing his overview of the book of Ezekiel, and I believe it's chapter number 24. In chapter 24, we find out about, I believe it's where Israel is, or I'm sorry, where Jerusalem now is destroyed, and obviously, Pastor talked about the certain day, the month, the year, and all that. But if you keep going through chapter 24, you get to a point where God is now speaking to Ezekiel and says, I'm going to take from you, I can't remember the exact wording that he puts it, but virtually, I'm going to take from you your wife. And what I want, and here's what I want you to do. Go on as if really nothing happened. Go on as if nothing happened. And then God laid out, here's what you do. But you're going to keep going. And I looked at that and I just thought to myself, like, man, well, I'm not there. Praise God, I'm not there. I don't even want to venture even into that territory and even into that line of thinking. But all of that to say, I thought I was discouraged. And you've got the man of God who the Lord told him, I'm going to take your wife. And he preached in the morning. He did what he was supposed to do in the morning. And that evening, his wife was taken
like that.
Can you imagine how the man of God felt on the inside? But God told him, you've got to keep going. Because I'm using you for a specific purpose. You're going to be assigned to the children of Israel, or to the house of Israel. And you need to keep going. And that just brought to the thought that, you know what? Yeah, discouragement is going to come. And it's going to come to each and every one of us. But remembering that God has a purpose and a plan. Several weeks ago, during one of the outdoor services that we had this past summer, Pastor preached a message, I believe it was from the book of Luke, about what the big picture is in regards to Madison Baptist Church, and really about the Lord's work, that it is to go into the world and to preach the gospel. It's to go into our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, if you will, and then even to the uttermost parts of the world. And we just had a missions conference that even helped put that, even just remind me of those things that Pastor had mentioned in that message several weeks ago. But then, even as we go and preach the gospel, as we go and preach the gospel, there's still things that God expects of us while we live on a daily basis. There are things that He expects of each and every one of us. And then that led me to, and then I read a few other scriptures, but then that eventually led me to the book of 2 Peter. Actually, 1 Peter first, and then I read through 1 Peter, and then I read through 2 Peter. And when I got to 2 Peter, read through, we're going to do I believe is the purpose of 2 Peter here in just a moment, but then got to 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's just look at those first few verses this evening. Again, we already read them, I know that. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Peter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Here's the purpose. In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. There was a purpose behind what Peter was writing to these Christians at this point in time. To stir up their pure minds, and verse 2, that they may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. So, if I can put a title on this message tonight, it's just two simple words. Be mindful. Be mindful. Let's pray, and then we'll continue on with the introduction, and we'll get into the service. Heavenly Father, I do thank you and praise your name for the day you've given to us again, for this time that we can be in your word. I pray that your word would have free course, that your spirit would move here in this place. And Lord, even those that are watching via the live stream, Lord, that they wouldn't be distracted. And Lord God, that they would pay attention to what you have for them. Lord, that they would not look at the vessel, the tool, as the one that need to hear and heed. Although that you use men and women to be able to speak for you. But Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, this is your word we have opened up before us. Lord God, would you speak to each and every one of us? Lord God, I need this message as much as your people here do and those that are watching. Lord God, this is for me as much as it is for them. Lord God, would you help me as I preach your word? Lord God, would you give ears to the hearers? I pray this in your name. Amen. By way of introduction, I believe, and I just, again, these are in my words. You can go through 2 Peter. Eventually, Pastor will get to 2 Peter. It may be a while in our overview of the Bible, but eventually get there, and he'll probably even give us some other thoughts in regards to 2 Peter. But just the thoughts that I had written down in regards to what I believe the purpose of 2 Peter, chapter by chapter, are this. Let's go back to chapter number 1. So we'll do a little bit of a Bible study per se here. But again, like I said, I've got 4 points that we're going to get into. Even tonight. So 2 Peter chapter number 1, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I believe that part of the purpose of 2 Peter was to encourage the believing saints of the exceeding great and precious promises that they have received of God through Jesus Christ. And I believe that's, we can apply that to us as well as believers, as Christians, that we do have exceeding great and precious promises from God. Most of which, if you are saved and here this evening, you are a new creature and you have a home in heaven. Praise God. And we ought to share that with everyone. There's a promise there that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Obviously, it takes, somebody has to make that decision. And once they believe in Jesus Christ, the promise of heaven is now theirs. The promise of eternal life is theirs. But we are, I believe Peter was reminding the saints there right off the bat, hey, you have exceeding great and precious promises that have come through Jesus Christ. The purpose of 2 Peter is to remind those saints, believing saints, that there is still growing to be done in some important virtues that ought to abound in their lives. Let's look at verse number 5 of chapter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. When I hear the word add, I think we're growing, we're getting bigger now. All right, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wanted to remind them that there is still some growing to do. And even for us, while we're still here on this earth, we have not arrived. We have not received glorified bodies. We are not perfection. And that won't happen until Jesus Christ, until we're in heaven, we receive our glorified bodies. But in this time in which we live, there is still some growing to do. The only time there's still growing and learning. The only time that growing and learning stops is on this earth, physically speaking, is when we breathe that last breath. But in the meantime, there is still growing to do. God has preserved His Word for us, and He expects us to live it. And I don't know, and I'm sure you are the same way as me, that you may go through a passage of Scripture, and may have gone through it many times before in the past. And there may be something that you saw, but at that point in time, you just kept reading and the Lord had something else for you. But then you come back later. Should I go to the pulpit? Yes, I can go to the pulpit. That's fine. I'll just turn off the
lapel here. Good to go. Okay. But there is growing to do. That's not going to change. All right? As newborn Christians and really baby Christians, you know what? Really shouldn't to stay baby Christians, not just feeding on the or drinking the milk, but also getting into meatier matters, if you will, doctrines that are found in the Word of God. But there is growing to do. Even if you've been saved for many years, there is still growing to do. But I believe Peter was reminding them that there is still that growth that needs to be done. I believe that another purpose was to give warning of false teachers, apostate believers, and worldly influencers, and their desire to pull away believers with damnable heresies, pernicious ways, and the great swelling words of vanity. Chapter 2, let's look at that here. Chapter 2. In verse number 1, Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Think about it. Let that sink in for a moment. I hope that wouldn't be anybody in here, but Peter is saying that even among you, there have arisen false teachers that are pulling people away from the truth. Let's see here, verse 1, about halfway down, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And I encourage you to read the remainder of that later. Let's just jump down to verse number 18. Let's just read this verse here. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. I believe another reason why the purpose for 2 Peter is that Peter just want to remind the Christians, the saints, that false teachers will come from among the church, teaching damnable heresies, teaching pernicious ways, as the Bible puts it, and they'll use great swelling words of vanity. It'll sound nice. It'll be all fluffy and warm and fuzzy. But it's all to pull away from the truth of God's word. But he was giving that warning of false teachers. And then, I know I've just gone quickly through that, but then that brings us to chapter number 3. And what we've read already. I believe that another purpose of 2 Peter was to be a reminder to the believers of important words, topics, issues expressed by the prophets and the apostles through the direction of the Savior. Now we read those verses already, but again, may I remind you of the words that Paul or Peter uses, that he may stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. Be mindful of the words that were spoken before. And our focus tonight will be on chapter number 3 and what were some of those words, if you will. Just a couple of notable words here from those first couple of verses was that word pure. Pure simply is separate from any other subject or from anything foreign. Separate from any other subject or from anything foreign. And then the other term and phrase really is this, stir up, as I mentioned already. That's to quicken, to enliven, to make more lively or vigorous, as to stir up the mind. And you know, we all could use a good stirring up to reset our focus. And reset our focus on the Lord. We all could use a good stirring up. Why is it important? Why was it important for these believers? And really, why isn't it important for us believers to be mindful of these words? How does it apply to us? We're going to go through chapter 3. We're going to kind of look at different verses here and kind of just take this entire chapter as a whole, and with the Lord's help, just give you 3 items that really we ought to remember daily. 4 items that we ought to remember daily from 2 Peter chapter 3. The first item is this. It's the time. It's the time. In verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. The time is, there are scoffers. As Proverbs puts it, I believe it's the same, it's along the same lines, scorners. Those who have heard and even at one time adhered to the truth of God's word, and abandoned, and left it. Scoffers of God and His Word are all around us. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? So I believe that because with that question being implied is, now I guess you can take it in both from an unbelieving aspect or from believers' aspect. It's like, hey, Jesus promised to come again. Where is He? Why isn't He here? Why hasn't He come back? Why hasn't He made everything right yet? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Remember the time. Scoffers of God and His Word are all around us. When I read verse 3 of 2 Peter 3, it just reminds me of the text and passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, this too, the perilous times shall come. Let me get over there quick. If you want to turn there, feel free. Should have had it marked, and I apologize for that. It said, this know also that in the last days, we read about last days in 2 Peter chapter 3, but in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does that sound like any time? But think about this. That was going on in Peter's day. That was going on then. And he said, the last days then. We're 2,000 plus years away from that. And look at the day and age in which we live. Scoffers of God and His Word are all around us. Those scoffers are unbelieving, lost. But dare I even say, there's the believing, yet apostate. And that's 2 Peter 3, verses 4 through 7. And then go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We're not going to go ahead and read that. But apostate is this. One who has forsaken the church, sect, profession, to which he before adhered, in an original sense, applied to one who has abandoned his religion. That was from Webster's 1828. I believe there are those that, as Peter mentioned already, false teachers who have come in out from among the church, having heard and known the truth, willingly set at naught the truth of God's word. Think about this. For their own truth. Their own truth. Let's be mindful of the time. Let's be mindful of the promise. Verses 8 and 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Be mindful of the time. Be mindful of the promise. The Lord is coming again. He's made that clear and evident. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. John 14. He is coming again to receive unto Himself His children. He is coming again. He promised it. Obviously, we don't know the time. We don't know the times nor seasons. But the promise is still there. Jesus is coming again. And the timing is not in our hands. The timing is in His hands. We have no idea when the Lord is going to come back. But in the meantime, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Live godly as He hath called you to be, as He is holy. Be ye holy, live holy lives. In the meantime, the timing is not in our hands, it's in His. And think about this. Verse 9, the Bible talks about the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Don't count the Lord's long-suffering as laziness. Do not count His long-suffering as laziness. Where is His coming? When is He coming? Why hasn't everything been made right yet? What's He doing? Why is He waiting? Why is He delaying? Folks, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the time that we still have here on this earth, and as the time goes on before Jesus comes again, there is something that we ought to be doing. That's witnessing for him. Go ye into all the world. Power of the Holy Ghost. Go to your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the world. Because the will of God is that all men would repent. Now we know that's unfortunately not going to be the case. But remember the promise. The Lord is coming again. The timing is in his hands. His long suffering is not laziness. But the promise that judgment and destruction will come. Judgment and destruction will come. God isn't going to let sin go. He's not going to let it go unpunished. He will make all things right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The judgment and destruction will come, which leads us to the third thing to keep in mind. So there's the time. Scoffers are all around. In these last days, scoffers are all around us, both unbelieving and believing, that there is a promise. The Lord is coming again. The timing is in his hands. His long-suffering ought not be counted as laziness. He's just giving time, allowing time for souls to come. But then, remember, there's a day. There is the day. And just read that in verse 10. It's called the day of the Lord. And the Bible tells us it comes as a thief in the night. Now, heaven forbid that this would ever happen to you and happen to your home, but I don't think that thieves come to your house during the day and come with their calendar in hand, come with their smartphone calendar app open and say, all right, I'm going to be coming to your house on such and such a day. I'll be there at 12:30. All right? While you're in bed sleeping, I'm going to come and be there at 12:30. All right? Don't worry. I'll make sure everything goes as planned. That's not how thieves work. They come by surprise. Unexpected, if you will. Now, we ought to be expecting the Lord's return, but we don't know when that's going to happen. It will come, that day of the Lord, his coming will come suddenly. And again, perhaps even not necessarily unexpected in the fact we don't know, but we should always be expecting it. It comes in which this world, as we know it, will eventually burn. Verse 10 says, its coming should remind us of the manner of persons we ought to be. And that leads us to verse number 11. That day ought to remind us, seeing then, verse number 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But that day, that soon coming, ought to remind us of what manner of persons we ought to be, living in all holiness. As he who is holy hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. And that goes for me. That goes for me. Now, we're not going to attain to God's holiness where that's absolute perfection. But we can live lives according to his word. Lives that are, if I can put it this way, wholesome. That are pure. That are Holy Spirit led. Not led of the flesh, but Holy Spirit-led lives. We ought to live godly. Because again, this day is swiftly approaching. Keeping those three things in mind brings us to really the action. So keeping in mind, being mindful of the time in which we live, the promise of Jesus Christ, and the day that is soon coming, there's the charge given to us. So let's remember the charge. And this is the remainder of that chapter, verses 13 through 18. We didn't read those early. Let's go ahead and let's read the rest of the chapter this evening. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The charge that's given to us, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, be comforted in knowing that righteousness will one day be upon this earth, in the heaven and the new earth. But while we look and wait, what are we to do? Verse 14, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Be diligent. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to be diligent. When the school was still in session, when the school was still going here, Madison Baptist Academy, I know one of the things that pastor would encourage the kids to do, and the same for Mrs. Van Wormer and Mrs. Caro and the other monitors, was that the young people would be diligent in their work, that they would be concentrated on the subject and the task at hand, that their focus wouldn't be deterred, that there wouldn't be anything else in their desk. Now, some of those young people, I don't know what they kept in their desk. I mean, they had like pets in their desk or whatever else. Mrs. Caro could tell you stories, I'm sure. But their eyes and their minds were to be focused, concentrated on the task at hand. And for any young people that are even taking online classes, whether college prep classes or high school class or even elementary, whatever it might be, you're encouraged to be diligent with your studies. If you want a good grade, and those of us that have long since been past school, if we wanted a good grade, what did we have to do? We needed to be diligent. We needed to put in the effort, put in the work, so that we would have a desirable result. But we're called here in this life to be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace. I believe it's in Romans where it says that we are to live peaceably with all men. I believe that's in Romans chapter 12 or 13. We are to be found without spot. Think of Daniel. When the other presidents in I believe it's King Darius' realm there, came after Daniel because of his excellent spirit and of how he conducted himself, what did they try to do? They tried to find any dirt they could on him, and they could find nothing except the fact that he was guilty of praying to God. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, that if we were found guilty of serving God, but found without spot and blameless? So we ought to be diligent. We ought to be steadfast, and that's steadfast in the Scriptures. Verses 15 through 17, the Apostle Peter says, really in verse number 16, and in verse 15 he talks about, just reminds the saints there and the believers of the things that even Paul had written to them in the past and before. But he says also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. Let me ask you, do you understand everything that God's word says? Do we understand every truth and every aspect there is about God? Do we understand everything there is to know about why we are, why we do the things that we do, and why God has instructed us to to just trust his word? Some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. So he's talking about that there are those that who take the word of God, and we even can see that today. We need to take God's word in its context. Can't just take things here and there, pull things here and there, and build a doctrine off of that. But what does God's word say on a specific topic, if you will? And what does what should we be doing? We should be as a Berean, right? Study the scriptures to see what the Bible says, rather than one party, this side of the room over here, argue, and with this side of the room over here, it's resting. Not resting as in sleeping, but resting as in, I think of the word here, wrestling. Wrestling over, hey, this is right. This is what the Bible says. Let's take God's word as a whole and see what God has to say. Being steadfast. Let's see here. Keep reading. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Yet ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Are you steadfast in the scriptures? Knowing that some scripture can be difficult to understand, that it could cause arguments, it could cause fighting, and at worst bring destruction. Believers, we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to either lead us to that answer or lead us to simply just trust God and his word, that it is absolute truth. And then be diligent, be steadfast, be growing. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to grow in grace. And that grace, I believe, stands connected with service. Ephesians, you can write these verses down and read them later. Ephesians 3, 7, and 8. Our Christian growth. Ephesians 4, 29. And then even in our giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. We ought to grow in grace, and we ought to grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Don't stop getting to know Jesus. Don't stop. Love this word more and more. Love his word more and more each and every day. Cherish it. Obey it. So why is it important to be mindful of these things? Let me just remind you this. The time for scoffers and scorners has been, is, and will continue on now, but only until the righteous judge judges and puts an end to it. We are living in the time, and we must not be as those who are walking after their own lusts, yet walking in the Spirit. The time ought to cause us to remember the promise that Jesus is coming again. The timing of his return is in his hands, and his long suffering during this time ought not to be considered and counted as laziness. He is merciful to all men, desiring that all would repent. But of course, not all will repent, meaning that they will face a judgment and destruction. Knowing this ought to stir us up and motivate us to keep witnessing, telling the word of the change Jesus has made in each of us and what he can do for them. The day is coming when it will be too late. The day is coming suddenly for the unbelieving to perish, but also the destruction of this earth. The day should remind us that we are to live in the light of eternity and every day in holy conversation and godliness. Our lives ought to show others how much we love God and show God how much we love him. Finally, being mindful of the fact that while we look for God to do what he has promised, we need to remember the charge we've been given. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1:10. Steadfast in our belief of the scriptures and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Savior. All of this so that we will be, as 2 Peter 1:12 says, be established in present truth. God is truth. He is immutable, unchanging, and forever faithful. Rest assured, if we are to be established in him, you will not be led away with the error of the wicked, 2 Peter 3:17. Folks, may I encourage you to be mindful, Peter proclaimed that as long as he had the breath and the ability to do so, he would stir up the believers, 2 Peter chapter 3. He desired that even after his death, these words would be remembered. We have those words. He desired that praise God, the words of Peter are given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and can stir us up even today. So that just leads me to one last question. What are we doing with these stirring reminders? The purpose of 2 Peter, the second epistle of it, and I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Remember, God's timing and placing are unexpected. We do not know when and where he will use us, but we should always be anticipating his leading and working in our lives. God's ways are not our ways. I believe that's in Isaiah. He can do whatever he chooses to do and in whatever way that he chooses to do it. God can and will deliberately, sometimes, even impair our ability to see so that we would listen and get us to a point, really just say, Lord, what do you want for me? God would rather us walk by faith to fill his will for us and no delays. God's message for us in all of this is really walk with him. Walk in fellowship. Walk in the light. Folks, we are in a day and age where we just need him. There's no other way around it. We need him. We need our Lord and Savior's help. We need wisdom. We need strength. We need grace. We need yes. Be mindful of these words that we have been given, that have been preserved in his word. Psalm 119, thy word settled in heaven, forever settled in heaven. Folks, be mindful of these words. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for your word. Lord God, I thank you that we can go to your word and see what you expect of us. We can go to your word and see how much you love us. But also, Holy Father, not just us, but Lord, you love the entire world. Lord God, you loved the world so much that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every man, woman, and child. And you offered salvation to them that whosoever believeth in Jesus would have everlasting life, would have a home in heaven, that they would be saved from the penalty and punishment of sin. Lord God, you truly do love us. And as we've seen in your word, you've called us to be mindful of some things. Lord God, in this day in which we live, there are those that are going to scoff and scorn and mock us. Lord God, may we continue to go on for you. Even if there may be a hint of discouragement, Lord God, may we leave it in your hands. Seek your face and keep moving forward. Lord God, be reminded of the promise that you are coming back. And in the time that we have, we need to continue to serve you faithfully. But there's coming a day where it will be too late. While the time we have, we have to be diligent in our service to you, diligent in staying faithful to you. We have to be growing. Lord God, just be loving you. Lord, in this time of invitation, I do ask and pray that you would guide and direct in it. Lord God, if there's anything that you've spoken to your people about, whether in here, whether via the live stream, or whether to watch it or listen later, Lord God, that we would answer your voice, that we would make a decision as you lead us to. I pray these things in your name. Amen.